From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of March 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, Congress continues to wrestle not only with this year's budget, but next year's budgets. And there are likely to be cuts to agriculture. A bit later in the program, we'll talk with Harry Cooney. He's at Growmark in Bloomington and will help us look at the agricultural energy markets. And as we close out our half-hour program, Don Day will be here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this at the CME Group. Nearby March wheat up down 6¾ cents for the afternoon. It finished at $7.75¾. The May at $8.10¼, down 6¾, and July at $8.40¾ for the soft red, 7½ lower. March wheat in Kansas City at $9.02. A half cent lower on the day. March corn futures, 7.27¼ a gain, up 4¾. May futures, 7.35½ in the corn pit, 4½ higher. July at 7.38¼, up a nickel. September at 6.54¾, up 4½. And December futures down 2. That's right, 2 lower for December corn at 6.04¾. The March at 6.15, a half cent lower for 2012. March soybean futures at $13.67½, up 10¼. May at $13.75¼, 10½ higher. July beans at $13.82, 9½ higher. August at $13.70, up 11. And November beans at $13.28¼, up 3½¢. $3.58 was the settlement price for the March bean meal, up $1.60. The March bean oil at $57.07, up 30 on the day. Livestock finished the April live cattle futures at $111.40, down $1.50. June at $113.60, down $1.05. March feeders at $128.90, 1¼¢ lower. And the April futures there at $130.62½, down $1.15. April lean hogs finished at $88.10, 100 pounds, down 70 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures April contract at $99.63 a barrel, up $2.66. Ethanol at $2.59½, 0.3 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.87¼, down 15¼ cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.98¾, up 9 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel 8½ cents higher, at $3.02¾. Gold futures finished at $1,430.70 an ounce, up $21.40, and the Dow now down just about 131 points at 12,095 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, sunny skies, a high near 49 degrees, southwest winds between 10 and 15. They'll gust all the way to 18 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 27 degrees, north-northwest winds between 6 and 9 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, sunny skies again, the high of 41 degrees, northeast winds between 8 and 10. Wednesday night, mostly clear skies, a low of 23, east winds between 8 and 10 miles an hour. Thursday night, mostly sunny, a high of 46, southeast winds between 9 and 13. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 40 degrees. And Friday, a 40% chance of snow showers, cloudy, a high near 53. Friday night showers likely, cloudy, a low of 39. Saturday showers cloudy and a low of 43, rather a high of 43. Saturday night we get the low of 28. It'll still be mostly cloudy. And on Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny, a high near 39 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 26. And Monday, partly sunny next week with a high near 40 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, at the end of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Hello, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, just 1 week from today, we'll be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, for our annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and we'll have a lot to discuss about the high price of commodities, what folks should be doing about crop insurance, and where things might go in the coming months. Do you have any good tales to tell them, you think?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we a lot of times have a very icy, crummy day that this market, that the meeting happens on. There's times when two or three of the weathermen didn't make it because they slid off the road between Chicago and there, Todd. But all in all, I think the weather's going to be decent. I think the crowd is going to be big, and the information is going to be good because we're going to have a lot of guys doing a lot of great things or telling us. You know, and we've got some tremendous prices to work with this year.
Indeed, we do. Actually, that program is all sold out, but we've got plenty of other Ag Outlook panels. We'll tell you more about those a bit later that you can visit with folks on commodities and on crop insurance that's coming up not only this week, but later in the month. You know, there are things that we probably should take up today on the idea that there's some underlying comments that are coming out of the University of Illinois, other places, that old crop corn prices simply aren't high enough at this point to attract enough acres. Darryl Good told last week an audience at the Outlook Summit for research on soybeans hosted by the Illinois Soybean Association. We heard that here on this program yesterday afternoon. Would you agree with him?
Well, for what we would really like to have for acres to get healthy as far as a generous amount of corn out there available for food and energy like that, no, Todd, we're not up over that 93 million acres as we would like to see. I think, you know, we traveled around through the state of Illinois last week, talked to one farmer up in LaSalle County, Greg Hanley, and he was telling me that all the guys in that area are basically going to stay about in the same rotation, and we need to add some more acres rather than the same rotation in Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana if we're going to get up to that comfortable level. And right now, you know, just because of the fertilizer costs and a little bit of hedging along the way, even if it does pencil, you know, $50 to $100 better for corn, we're not seeing the guys switch heavily that way.
There are two ways to get that. The price of corn has to be high, but it doesn't necessarily, it only has to be high compared to the price of beans in this area, I suppose. Although, when you look at the marketplace today, deferred contracts in the soybeans were higher, yet the deferred in the corn was lower. It's not going to do the job yet, I suppose.
Well, it depends on. I think if we go back and listen to Dan Zwicker on the Commodity Week, well, he was saying that basically we need to do a little more job of buying back some bean acres from what they lost to cotton. You know, some of the wheat doesn't make it and gets gone along the way because the corn acres are probably up. They are up that 91-plus million acres here, and we do need to probably hang on to a few of the bean acres that we might lose to corn. So it's not going to be a happy situation. We can't get the 93 million acres for corn and the acres we need for beans all together at the same time, Todd, because there's just so many acres we can plant. And when we look at the price of cotton, we're going to lose a few acres to that.
Did you see that Oil World had increased its Argentine soybean forecast by 500,000 tons after the rainfall?
Yes, I did. And the Brazilian harvest is continuing to be very, very big and strong down there. And it looks like it'll be a record year again out of Brazil. And they said there was, 12 miles, I think, of trucks lined up to dump at the one port here like that. But that was a real cutback from what used to be 100-mile lines just 5 years ago.
And then I made note that Bunge is looking at a record Canada canola crop acreage area mm-hmm. this year. That'll put pressure on the oil seeds, too.
You know, it's going to be something that we'll add on in because canola oil can be used same way for food or for the blending with the diesels. So basically, it's another competitive thing to the soy oil. So, you know, along the way, why that, and also the meal is good, too. So, you know, maybe we need to focus more on the corn acres, and maybe if we do lose a few bean acres, it's not the end of the world.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, you know, we're 1349 and 601 on the crop insurance numbers this year, Todd, and it's going to be a great year because we can insure and lock in profits just with crop insurance this year.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I almost forgot about that completely. It is the first day of March. I've been awfully busy. Crop insurance is now the time through, what, the 15th?
We've got half a month here to get things done, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next 2 weeks just talking with all of our customers out there. But it's going to be a lot of fun because we know we're going to be able to lock in profits for them this year.
Do you think there's any one product that looks better than other for most places? I know it sort of depends on the county and what your grip looks like.
I think there's a lot of cases where people feel the grip insurance has been very good for them. It's going to be quite expensive this year because the dollar amount is going to be so high they're insuring. One of the things that seems to go rather well that's because of the government subsidies are the highest is the enterprise units on the crop insurance, Todd, which that includes everything in the county going under one production level. So, you know, but that's where the government is putting most of their money because it doesn't pay as often.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the closing market report on a Tuesday afternoon. Speaking to the crop insurance, couple of notes here. Please do visit the FarmDoc website, www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. There are many tools there for which the producer and the landowner can take a look at different crop insurance schemes and decide which one might be best for them. That is the particular programs. And then tomorrow night, if that's not enough, you can visit Gary Schnitke at the Macon County Extension Office located just west of the Farm Progress Show site. It's the building actually closest to the wind turbine there in Decatur. Near the Farm Progress Show site, even at night, I'm told you can see that wind turbine because the ADM lights reflect off of it. We'll be there tomorrow at 7 o'clock. This is a free event, and Gary Schnitke will be there. We'll have internet access and be able to take you all the way through the crop insurance programs that are on the FarmDoc website. He'll give you an idea how to use that. We'll do some teaching along the way. Paul Cooley will be with us from ADM Investor Services, Jackie Bakes of Stuart Peterson, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. Again, that's free, open to the public, 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Macon County Extension Office, Route 48 and I-72 in Decatur, just west of the Farm Progress Show site. Look for the wind turbine.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In today's agricultural news, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley has noted that international trade is tied to jobs and the economy. He says because of that, it's time to move on the FTAs, that's the free trade agreements. The senator notes that free trade creates job opportunities and is important to U.S. agriculture. He says Congress needs to approve the outstanding free trade agreements with Colombia, Korea, and Panama.
Just in agriculture, the Colombia Trade Promotion Agreement, when it gets fully implemented, would provide $910 million gain for U.S. agricultural export. And the potential for Korea is even greater for agriculture, $1.6 billion. These agreements are going to help create jobs, good-paying jobs that pay 15% above the national average. It's going to have a general boost to the entire country. And I want to help push the administration to move forward on these agreements.
Grassley says the outlook looks pretty good for passage, at least in the Senate, for the deal with Korea.
I don't know about the House of Representatives, but I think it's much more amenable than the last Congress. I think it's still questionable about Colombia and Panama unless Republican leadership in the House of Representatives is able to convince the president to put all three agreements in one message to the House and have us take them all three up at the same time. Then I think we can get Panama and Colombia.
That was Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Hey, ethanol producers have had another record year. We already know this, but now it's in print. The U.S. Energy Information Administration, that's EIA, Reports 2010 was another record year for the American ethanol producer. Daily ethanol production averaged nearly 863,000 barrels, and it represents nearly 13.23 billion gallons of production for the calendar year 2010. 2009 ethanol production, by the way, was 10.75 billion gallons. And finally today, this note from House Speaker John Boehner, who would have Congress pass a continuing resolution that lasts only 2 weeks in hopes of making time to negotiate the necessary tougher cuts to the federal budget. Last week, Boehner proposed such a resolution that would cut $4 billion in spending and delay any threatened government shutdown until March the 18th. A vote on his proposal could come today. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's stay with the budget. You know, Congress this week is working on next fiscal year's budget, even as it struggles to continue funding this fiscal year. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is presenting the President's fiscal 2012 USDA budget request to Congress as lawmakers struggle to pass stopgap funding for the current fiscal year, for which no formal budget was ever passed. American Farm Bureau's Pat Wolf says Congress will start to write new spending bills after April the 15th, when it hopes to have a budget. But lawmakers may still be fighting over House GOP efforts to cut some $61 billion, that's $5 billion from agriculture, this fiscal year.
The two budget bills, the appropriations bills, are operating on separate but parallel tracks. This is actual spending, so yes, it's fun and informational to compare how much they're spending this year compared to last. But the bottom line is they can do next year's bill without finishing up this year's.
And how seriously will Congress take the president's request to freeze overall spending when the GOP wants deep cuts?
The president's 2012 budget is a recommendation. It's not voted on. It does not become law. What's important is the budget that Congress writes, and they take a look at what the president said, but they really start from scratch when they write their own budget.
But AFBF's Pat Wolf says cuts are likely. The president wants $4 billion in discretionary USDA cuts next fiscal year.
The climate in Congress is to reduce federal spending and to make a real difference in federal spending. All departments of the government will be looked at for cuts, and it's very realistic to expect that USDA will be expected to reduce spending for next year.
Wolf says Farm Bureau has its eye on efforts by the White House and some in Congress, unsuccessful so far, to further tighten payment limits.
The argument was made that if Congress is setting about to rewrite the Farm Bill, that payment limitations should be discussed when the Farm Bill is rewritten. So that pushes the debate into Ag Committee jurisdiction and the writing of the next Farm Bill.
The president has proposed tightening adjusted gross income and eligibility requirements and capping overall farm payments at $30,000. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On this Tuesday afternoon, I'm Todd Gleason, inviting you to an Ag Outlook panel at the Macon County Extension Office on the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur tomorrow evening. Our panelists will include Paul Cooley, Kurt Kimmel, Jackie Bakes, and from the FarmDoc team at the University of Illinois, Gary Schnittke. We'll teach you how to use the FarmDoc site to make crop insurance decisions and to explore the other risk management tools available in the commodity markets. It's all free and starts at 7 tomorrow evening at the Macon County Extension Office on the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur, Illinois. That's I-72 at Route 48. Look for the lights from ADM and the wind turbine.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Time to check the agricultural energy markets on this Tuesday. We're joined by Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Thanks, Harry, for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
We have lots to talk about because since the last time we've talked, things have gone awry in the Mideast, and I suppose that's been having an impact on the price of crude oil.
Well, it definitely has, but we have to remember that really, if you go back to the roots of this rally, it's all the way back mid last year when crude oil bottomed around $65 or $70, and we've continued to rally through the fall, through the winter, and now here in the past month or so, all this upheaval has occurred in the Middle East. So it's not like we had a market that was laying flat and now has all of a sudden started to take off or has changed course from a downtrend to an uptrend. We already had an uptrend going on, and a lot of that was based on this the recovery and the increasing demand for oil here in the U.S. and around the world. Now, what you've mentioned is, yeah, this has just magnified the rally where we have these problems over in the Middle East. You know, we have probably a handful of countries at least over there that are having these problems, and so now we're up near $100 a barrel on crude, and it seems like we want to go even higher.
You know, you said the word magnified, but before the revolutions began in the Mideast, we were already talking about $100 a barrel by the sometime, and $125 by the summer. Is this on the trend line still? Have we really gotten very much outside of what the expectations for the marketplace were maybe 2 months ago?
A couple of ways to look at that. I think the best way I have to look at that is that we have reached the expectations of some people, but their time period for that was well down into 2011, whereas those objectives are getting met like $100. And, of course, Boone Pickens talked about $120 crude. If you look at back month December crude, it's already up at almost $104 today. So we're not, you know, we're coming up on some of these objectives pretty fast, you see. And, of course, all those prognosticators have to do is just kind of raise their expectations of the market down the road. But I just feel there's a lot of a base of demand that's built up here. And so part of it is the demand. Part of it is the actual problems over in the Middle East region. The trend is still up, so you have to expect higher prices rather than lower prices. And we have some contracted gallons on the books. We have worked with our member cooperatives, or FS member cooperatives, and have about 20% locked in liquid fuels and in propane for the coming year. We're looking for opportunities to lock in more.
Actually, that was the question I had to ask, because I know when we talked at the first week of February, you said I was hoping that there'd be more of a break, but maybe we better lock her in now.
And, yeah.
And you did. And how much more are we thinking about adding to that position at this point?
Well, if I was an end user, I've told groups that I'd want to be 25 to 50% covered, and I wouldn't want to be any more than 50% because, hey, there's no great bargains out there in price at these levels. However, if you stay at zero bought, then you're saying you're fairly certain that the market's just going to go down from here. And with the trend being up, I have a hard time thinking just down, even though that the price levels are way off their lows.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think we have to just look for these opportunities, but we have to realize that when the trend is up, higher highs are probably expected. But in every uptrend, there's ups and downs. It's just that there's higher highs and higher lows.
Thank
so
you.
We expect higher prices.
Thank you so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You can hear Harry again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report and Commodity Week. It's our flagship weekend program.
It's National Chili Day. There are several theories on where chili began, among them that cowboys invented chili while driving cattle. Supposedly, cooks planted oregano, chilies, and onions among patches of mesquite to protect them from foraging cattle. The next time they passed the same trail, they'd collect the ingredients, add beef, and make a dish called Trail Drive Chili. Perhaps the earliest mention of the dish, although not by name, was by J.C. Clopper, who in 1828 noted how poor people cut meat they could afford into a kind of hash. with nearly as many pieces of pepper as there were pieces of meat. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, at the DuPont Corporation, Dr. Wallace Hume Carruthers invented nylon. A patent was issued in 1837, and nylon stockings soon followed. Nylon has also been used in products as varied as tires to blood plasma filters. Carruthers also invented neoprene, a synthetic rubber that's today often used in horse breast collars. And speaking of horses, in 1979, Mr. Ed the Talking Horse died. The pilot show, entitled The Wonderful World of Wilbur Pope, was produced by George Burns, but it was never broadcast. TV bosses, however, thought it could be a successful TV show with a few changes. The TV series Mr. Ed first became a syndicated show on January 5th of 1961. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Hi, I'm Todd Gleason, inviting you to an Ag Outlook panel at the Macon County Extension Office on the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur tomorrow evening. Our panelists will include Paul Cooley, Kurt Kimmel, Jackie Bakes, and from the FarmDoc team at the University of Illinois, Gary Schnitke. We'll teach you how to use the FarmDoc site to make crop insurance decisions and to explore the other risk management tools available in the commodity markets. It's all free and starts at 7 tomorrow evening at the Macon County Extension Office on the Farm Progress Show site in Decatur, Illinois. That's I-72 at Route 48. Look for the lights from ADM and the wind turbine.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Thanks, Don, for being with us. Can you start with China, where they've had some rain recently, though I think they're in kind of their dry season anyway, and I don't know whether that relieves drought conditions in the wheat-growing areas or not.
Well, it looks like China is going to get back into some precipitation chances. It won't be excessive, but I think some of the key growing areas, especially the wheat areas, I've got some decent chances for moisture over the next 10 days or so. And this is something that we'll talk about when we get to North America. The northern hemisphere is starting to show pattern changes that you expect this time of year, where you start to get storms a little more energetic and a little bit more moist, and we'll see that in China.
All right, so move on to North America. What do you see for us in the next 10 days?
Well, we're going to need to watch the Midwest, Corn Belt, the Ohio Valley, especially the Ohio Valley, which has seen some melting and the warmer temperatures and some concerns with high water. It looks wet. Beginning Friday and heading into the weekend and heading into the next week, it looks like a good chunk of the nation's midsection is going to be cool and wet, and that's going to go well into next week.
All right, and then turn your attention to South America, where the Brazilians, Argentinas are in the midst of harvest season.
Well, the harvest weather looks pretty good. The exception will be some sections of Brazil where they may run into some shower activity. Argentina weather pattern right now looks very favorable for harvest.
Anything else we ought to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, keep the umbrella and the snow boots handy.
All right. Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a service of Illinois Public Media on the radio stations and on the internet. You can always visit us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. That one is over on the right-hand side of the page. Just scroll down and hit subscribe. If you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe. It's that easy. And if you'd like to give us your cell phone number, we'll send you the numbers on the day of the USDA reports as a text message. It's not long after the release, usually about 7:30 a.m. You can come back and hit Manage My Subscription if you're already subscribed to our weekend newsletter. One other thing, if you have not yet tried our phone service, how about dialing this number to hear either the opening or closing market numbers and a bit of analysis? It's 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.